Thursday, August 2nd, 2018, it's 5 p.m. This meeting is now in session. Let me see here. Can we have a call to order? That was me.
That was you, yes, sir.
Yes, the Pledge of Allegiance. Brian, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Absolutely.
Please stand. Ready, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Barcelos.
Here.
Commissioner Bissett.
Here.
Commissioner Custodio. Chair, Commissioner Custodio is excused. Commissioner Hudson.
Here.
Chair Perez.
Here. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the Commission's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the Commission not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the Community Development Director's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the Commission as each item is brought up for discussions. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended...
I'm sorry, can you just note that there's no one in the audience?
What's that?
Public
comment.
To close the...
Okay, we will close a public comment session now. There is no one in the audience. Thank you. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any commissioner may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action. And the commission can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. We only have one item on the consent agenda. Can I have a motion to approve?
I so move to pass that agenda item.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Call.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Bissett?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes. Public hearing. Consideration of text application number 2018-1 pertaining to accessory dwelling units, ADUs, through resolution number 2018-8. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following action. A. Recommend that the City Council finds that no environmental document is required for this project, pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Guidelines, Section 15162 and 15168C2, as determined in Environmental Assessment Number 2018-9. B. Recommend to the City Council approval of the text amendment application number 2018-1, ordinance number 2018-003, amending the title 10, chapter 6, article D, pertaining to accessory dwelling units. At this time, I'll turn it over to staff.
Thank you, Chair. Members of the Planning Commission, Ellen Moore, Associate Planner with the Community Development Department. This text amendment is related to accessory dwelling units. I'll be referring them to as ADUs for a while. They were formerly known as second dwelling units. I'll provide a quick refresher of what they are again, which they are size restricted units on the same lot as a single family home. That's as general as a definition that I can get, because there are three different types, as you can see in this image on the screen. The top left is within existing dwelling area, so you can convert a master bedroom or an attic or basement or something to a unit. You can add on to an existing home, or you can actually just build a new unit in on your property. They provide complete independent living facilities and include bathroom, kitchen, living, sleeping space, all that. So essentially you can rent, it's independent, so you can rent it out. So it's a source of income for property owners. This has been around for a long time, and as is mentioned before, the state every couple years they try to make them a little easier to develop. So this is kind of another round of that. And this looks familiar because we're talking about this in December of last year, the accessory dwelling units. And that was in response to state law changes from 2016, which standardized the regulations a little bit more so that it looks the same in almost every city. There's a few deviations you can still have, but before this, cities would require different things. For example, for parking requirements, some cities would waive parking completely. Some would have require two spaces. Some would require more or less. So the state is trying to standardize them and make them permissible and by right, I should say. They talked about different types of units, which I had mentioned in the previous slide, attached, detached, within existing dwellings, and they kind of put them in different categories and gave them different requirements. Like for fire sprinklers, some units can be exempt, that sort of thing. So they made that a little bit easier for certain types of units. You can either reduce development impact fees or waive them, which is something we'll talk about for the next item. But that was part of the state law change and to rebrand it as ADUs, accessory dwelling units. So we had done that. We complied with state law through text amendment application 2017-2, which is what this planning commission saw. And there were, you know, we provided some examples of what they can look like and everything. And the commission unanimously recommended the text amendment, now an ordinance, to the city council, which they adopted in January of 2018. So while all this was happening, there are more state law changes that happened that were effective of January 1st of this year. So the 2016 law was effective in 2017, and then they added more things, and then they sent out a memo reflecting the changes in 2018, which was attached to your packet. So there are so many housing bills that have passed, so we're trying to catch up with this text amendment, and it further clarifies things that were passed into law in 2016, and they actually still made things less restrictive. One thing that they had talked about was that you have to treat a new primary dwelling unit the same as an existing primary dwelling unit. So normally you would see an ADU constructed with an existing single family home there. So what some cities did was they required that you have to build, like it's a vacant lot, and you have to build the primary dwelling unit, the main house, first, and then you pull permits again to build the second, to build the ADU. So that was actually a requirement in some cities. And we were kind of wanting to go that direction as well. But the state said, no, you can't do that. You have to treat them the same. So in the actual text, you'll see existing or proposed. That's all we added. So it's still kind of saying the same thing, but it applies to vacant lots as well. And it makes more sense for the property owner because they're just building two things at the same time. So it's less money. You don't have to hire contractors to come back and all that kind of thing. So it does make sense ultimately. But you will see that changing a lot in the proposed text amendment that we're counting existing or proposed. So it could be either or. The new state law changes clarified that an ADU can be created through a conversion of a garage, carport, or existing structure. It was assumed by some cities that it could only be a garage, you know, something that has four walls. You convert that into a unit, and you're good. But the state clarified that even if you have a carport, that can still be converted, and there are less regulations for that. For example, you don't have to pay development impact fees. You don't have to require parking for the ADU. So they just clarified that to make it easier. So if somebody does have a carport in the back of their lot, they can, you know, that would be the same thing as a garage, where you convert it and you are actually You don't have to comply with all of the regulations. You're exempt from a few things. Also, if cities required replacement parking, that they defined tandem parking, which is basically just a long driveway where cars can park in front or behind each other. That's what that means. They had it, but they didn't define it. So they're just trying to make it clear of what that meant. And the replacement parking can be in any configuration. So again, just trying to make things even easier. What staff did, looking back on the what we adopted in 2018, was that there were a few terms that were that meant the same thing, but we were using different terms. For example, the main dwelling unit, which should just be the primary dwelling unit. Because we do get some, we do get people coming in and arguing, well, that's not the same thing, so I don't have to comply with that. You know, it's rare, but sometimes it happens. So to avoid that, we were just changing terms to make sure they're all the same. And the main change, I would say, is that the parking requirement. So they had standardized it. They said one space per unit or per bedroom. So cities could choose what we would require. So we chose one space per bedroom because the larger the unit, the likely more people will need a car. And so the more likely you need on-site parking. So the state removed that. Now it's just one per unit. What's kind of funny is they said one space per unit or per bedroom, whichever is less, which is ridiculous because you can only have one anyway. But that's just my commentary. It didn't work. Yep, that's right. So that's it. That was the summary of the changes. You know, it looks like there's a lot scratched out, but it's fairly repetitive, the changes, to make everything consistent. So we can go into ADUs a little bit more. I have slides from the past presentation if you have questions about that. But otherwise, staff's recommendation is to recommend approval to the City Council that no environmental document is required, and recommend the text amendment application as it is in the staff report. That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. Mm-hmm. Commissioners, any questions for staff?
It sounds like there'll be less revenue.
It would end up being less revenue than it would have been under the former guidelines. In all honesty, we don't really see a lot of these in town.
Okay.
We do get a decent amount of questions about them. I think a lot of people are curious about them. But keeping in mind that even though some of the regulations may have been softened here and the fees that it would cost somebody to build it, the actual costs of construction are still significant, and typically end up being the thing that get people to say, wow, placing a second unit is going to cost me thousands and thousands of dollars, despite the fact that it may cost several thousand less in fees now.
Okay.
So I would say in an average month, we probably get two questions about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say in any given year, we get one person that might seriously consider it. And mm-hmm. sometimes they move forward, sometimes they don't. I believe we do have one right now mm-hmm. that's actually going through the process, though. So
we do, yeah. And that's a unique one, and it really is a more ideal ADU situation because the lot is, I think it's like 10,000 square feet. So it's a single family residential lot that's really deep. So they have a large backyard. So it's, you know, they can fit an ADU to about 1,200 square feet. They have a garage, they have a driveway connecting to it, and they're willing to pay for separate utilities and all that kind of thing. So, you know, the ordinance is minimums. So there are people that will go above that because the property owner's living there, I guess. But, you know, they do happen, and it's, I'd say, once a year probably. But I did talk to somebody that was interested in doing this today. We do get about two a week, and even with the changes, the cost is still pretty significant because the construction cost, as Rob said, stays the same. So the fees may be reduced a little bit on our end, but our fees are kind of a drop in the bucket compared to construction costs.
Any other questions? We're good? Okay, this being a public hearing, we'll open up the comments for the public. Having none, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing to the public, and we'll take a motion for the vote, and that'll be resolution 2018 of the Planning Commission. So do you want me to read the comments, or can we just vote on the 2018? Okay, so let's do that. 2018-8 resolution. Can I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
Roll.
Commissioner Bissett?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes. Okay. So the second item on our agenda is consideration of development impact fee specific to development of ADUs through resolution 2018-9. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following action. Recommend that the City Council finds that no possibility of significant effect determination is appropriate for the proposed project based on the exception set forth in CEQA guidelines section 15002K1, section 15378A, and section 15061B3. B, recommend that the City Council of the City of Reedy establish development impact fees for accessory dwelling units consistent with AB2299. Turn it over to staff.
Mm-hmm. Thank you again, Chair. Okay, so as you probably know, development impact fees pay for new facilities that comes about for new development. The best example, or more straightforward example I can think of is, you know, if as the city gets larger, you need more police stations and more fire stations. So the money that goes toward, you know, for a new subdivision, you pay the development impact fees. So a portion of those fees go towards the pot of money to build a new fire station on that part of town where the development is going. So that's kind of what they're for. Fees are required to be proportional to the actual impact, and we do fee studies to determine that. And the fees are charged based on land use classification. So sometimes, so certain uses have more of an impact, so they are paid. They pay proportional to that. So the City of Reedy adopted our development impact fee update in 2015, and we had an associated DIF study with that. And we had the land use categories up on the screen: single family, multiple family residential, commercial, industrial, and institutional other. So what we're looking at right now in terms of accessory dwelling units, we're looking at residential land use categories, obviously. So just to give you an idea, these are the development impact fees for single family residential, and it is per unit cost. So for if you're, you know, a subdivider or a home builder, you pay per unit. So if you're building 45 homes, that times 45. And so that's broken down into each category based on the facilities. You have law enforcement, fire, transportation, which is streets, parks and recreation, water, wastewater. So those are all of the categories. And so for single family, it's about $16,500 per unit. For multiple family, we have about $11,000 per unit. So that's how that works. And then I usually for single family, you know, you have to pull more pipe in the street, you know, for a whole block to serve all the homes. In a multiple family facility, you're just pulling it to that one parcel where all of the units are. So it does have kind of less of an impact the more dense things are, because it's not as much facility being impacted in that sense. And then for apartments, you're paying, you know, there's usually more than one unit on there, so then that's why the fee's a little bit lower as well. So for ADUs, the state provides the option for cities or local agencies to ask for separate utility connections, and if so, whether they charge development impact fees. So the cities do have the option. I know in Southern California and the Bay Area, I know in LA at least, the city is waiving separate utility connections, and they're waiving development impact fees to help with providing more affordable housing for folks. So that's something that the cities can do. But the state, for now, is still allowing cities to charge development impact fees and require separate connections. So the city is, we are proposing that we still require separate connections and we charge development impact fees for the connections. And this is only for new construction, again. So the fees obviously have to be proportional to the impact. So we believe we should charge because even though it's less of an impact, it's still an impact to our facilities. And if there's two units on the property and they have shared connections, they have shared water meters and everything, if somebody, one of the units doesn't pay their utility bill, both units get shut off. So it may be a cost up front, but then you avoid, or, you know, less of a cost to only pay for one meter. Then down the road, something like this can happen, and you don't know how, you know, the exact amount of usage for each unit if you're not tracking both of them. You're only, or you're tracking them separately instead of together. So, because of those issues, staff wants to avoid those, so we are going to charge the fees and require separate connections. To be compliant with state law, we determined that ADUs count as a multiple family land use because basically they're not classified as a single family land use because that is just one unit on a lot. And an ADUs generally have about half of the amount of people living in them than a single family home. ADUs are ideally and primarily for couples, empty nesters, students, or one or two family members. So therefore, not as many people live in them as a single family home. And the ADUs are also generally infill development, which has less of an impact on the system as well. So staff is proposing that for new construction of accessory dwelling units, it's half of the multiple family rate, which is $5,493. So I went through each category, divided it by two. And so that's what we get. So yeah, so ultimately, going back to the money question is that the main difference from building an ADU before this reduction versus after is just $5,000 because you're still paying construction costs for it. So. So as part of the resolution that's before you this evening, it does establish that ADU rate for new construction. For an existing dwelling, this example is a garage conversion. You know, you can convert a master bedroom as long as it's existing space. We cannot require separate utility connections. Therefore, we cannot charge development impact fees. So they are exempt from the $5,000 fee that we were just talking about. So with that, staff recommends, or for the environmental finding, there's based on the exceptions 15002 K1, 15378A, and 15061B3, we determined that there's no possibility that establishing fees could have an impact on the environment. So staff recommends that the Planning Commission find that, or recommend that the City Council find that, and also recommend that the City Council establish the fees that we have just talked about. That concludes staff's report. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Commissioners?
She explains it too well.
She's getting pretty good.
I think she's covered everything we could have asked.
Yeah. You leave a little room for us.
I'll leave a few things out.
You know, it's kind of like the test for us.
Right. See if we're listening.
Oh, yeah. Pop quiz, yeah.
Okay, if there are no questions from the commissioners, this is a public hearing, so we'll open up to the public for any comments. Seeing that we have nobody in the public, we'll close the public hearing portion of it. And if we can have a motion for resolution 2018-9 for A and B as read, previously read.
I'd like to propose that we pass that motion, pass that resolution.
I have a second.
I'll second.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Bissett?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Boy, that was quick. 28 minutes. Very good. Director's report.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on a couple items. At our last meeting, we were about a week before UHC was going to go before the City Council for final approval. That was recommended for approval by the Planning Commission. So on June 12th, that was unanimously approved by the City Council there. We are now working to give them some additional support on some challenges that they're having with the Air District and some difference in opinion on definitions and certain rules that they believe either do or do not apply. And so we are working hard with them to make sure that they have the support needed there to continue to move that process forward. And I'm confident that they will, but even though there seems to be a little bit of lag in it actually getting, you know, shovels into the dirt, that's the reason why they're still trying to work their way through that. Almond Grove, which is the corner of Frankwood and Olson, 45 single-family units there, they're working their way through the final map process right now and getting ready for their development agreements that they'll enter into with the city. Right now going through all the red line adjustments to their public improvement plans and the necessary engineering items in order to get into that development agreement and to progress along in the final map process. So that one's moving as well. The abandoned and burned out home also on the corner of Frankwood and Olson there, after years of legal process to go through for the city to be able to actually do something about it, as of yesterday, now it is eligible for demolition. And so Yanez Construction actually has the contract out for that, and they should be beginning that here in the near future. So that item there that's been, I know, a lot of concern for many members of the public. Unfortunately, the legalities of it take a long time to address something like that, but they've done it now, and they're moving forward with that. So you guys should see that come down to bare dirt again here in the near future.
Is the city going to auction off the lot or put it up for sale or what?
No. So the city actually wouldn't take ownership of the lot. What they had to go through was to get the approval to go onto the premise and to remove the item for the issues of public health and safety.
So the city does under the umbrella of being a nuisance? Or
yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So it will just become a vacant, clean lot.
Correct.
Versus a vacant
lot. Owned by somebody else.
Owned by the it's a very odd situation. the owner of record that no longer lives.
Right.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. What typically happens with those is after several years, it will go into a tax default. And then the county, of course, will step in and they'll go through the auction process. But as it has to go through that, the city is trying to be proactive to at least address it and remove what was not only an eyesore, but was becoming a problem. Everything from pests and rodents all the way to vagrants that were, you know, trying to utilize the home for shelter. So
it's still going to be a nuisance.
It will.
From that process.
Yep, it will. It's start to finish, something like this can easily take a decade, which is crazy.
I feel for the neighbors. I really do.
Exactly.
I agree.
Because if you have something right there that looks bad, yet everybody else cares about, you know, aesthetically.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the impacts that it has on your property value and just on, you know, your pride of ownership, right? So, I agree.
Mm. Well, that tax thing, if nobody, that thing's been like that for some time, so I'm assuming that the tax liability on that is already tested the county.
Yeah, I'm sure it's,
you know, so if somebody pushed it, it could happen sooner than not.
Yeah.
Rob.
Yeah. We are actively working on it, I can promise you. And then lastly, wanted to let you guys know that a spa manufacturer from just on the other side of the Tehachapis is going to be relocating here to Reedley in the very near future. So we're seeing good, consistent economic growth, and that's what we'd like to see. I know that they The owner of that has recently signed a contract to head into the industrial area. And from what I understand, it looks like they're probably just a few weeks out from starting their move. That's the impression that I got from
that. In the industrial area for them?
Yes, they'll be going into an existing building. So they had signed a lease with a property owner there.
Okay.
And I believe they were on site. Was that yesterday, right? Just getting all their business license and everything lined up. So so it'll be good. Yeah, we're excited to see that. It's a high-end spa manufacturing. I believe that the owner said that they will employ roughly 20 people. And so, you know, that's good. 20 jobs for the city of Reedley is always, you know, it's a good thing. So, other than that, I don't have anything else that I wanted to bring up to you guys at this time. But if you have any questions, comments, or concerns for me, I'd be happy to address them.
Anything, Rob, on the subdivision on Reed and just south of the packing house?
Yeah, you know, so the gentleman who, the applicant who went through that had gone MIA for a little while. Mm. And we knew that he was actively marketing to try to sell it off to other developers. In the last week or so, he's actually reached out to staff and is asking some more specific questions about the conditions of approval and wants to make sure that he understands exactly what they are and what they are not. I'm not quite sure if he's asking that to try to continue to market it or if he himself now is ready to move forward with it. But we are getting ready to have conversations with them about potential for reimbursements that can happen. It's not uncommon when you go through the conditions of approval for you to have master plans that cover a lot of your major infrastructure. And so when you look at those master plan items, you're looking out 20, 30, 50 years into the future, making sure that you're going to have the infrastructure to support your community as it grows. So as a result of that, many times you will have corridors that call for an upsized line, water, sewer, something of that nature, that is larger than what would actually be needed to serve what's currently there, or even a small addition of one more development. But in the condition of approval, we will state that they need to put in a line that's consistent with that master plan. We then will allow them to enter into a reimbursement agreement with the city. It typically goes around 10 years or so. And then any new development that comes in and pays their fair share of that same upsizing actually gets refunded back to that developer. So it's we're working our way through the details on that with them right now. I think they'll probably continue to market it, would be my guess. I know that they do the majority of their actual development in the Sacramento area. So they haven't done a lot of stuff, at least in the central or southern part of the valley, which to me makes me think that they'll continue to market it. Anything else?
Nope. Anything else, guys?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Ellen?
For future agenda items, we don't have anything for the second meeting in August. It is very likely that we'll cancel that one. But September will be a little busy. We have a condition and a change of zone on September 6th. The conditional use permit amendment will be the Dopkins Funeral Chapel. So they will actually be redoing their site plan. And they also have construction plans in with our building department right now. So we're trying to run that. Initial conditional use permit layout wasn't going to work out, so it was a significant change. So we're going to be here at that. And then the change of zone will actually be for it's an industrial light industrial property that's on Reed Avenue that's just south of the Riverwalk Shopping Center, where McDonald's and CVS is. There's a little piece that is proposed to be rezoned to commercial. Going to do another portion of the city-wide change of zone, which we had done a few years ago. So we're going to potentially rezone a couple of properties consistent with our general plan. So there'll be another phase of that.
Okay. Is there any other business? If not, this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Commissioners. Appreciate it.